So when we got ready to start the service today, I was like getting really worried because I thought we were in big trouble because there was a really rowdy crowd going on. I tell you what, it was rowdy, and Father Bill was like out of sorts. I don't know what he was thinking. And I tell you what, it was just, I'm like, oh no, what's going on here? I'm going to have to preach in the midst of this, you know. It's amazing how the Lord and praise and worship kind of focuses you back on Him. You know, I figured that you all would be like fainting and weak from fasting now after 3 or 4 days because we just started Lent, you know, on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. And so here we are already in Lent. That's all, you know, why we're wearing purple and all that kind of stuff. And you heard those wonderful scriptures from today that really kind of get to the heart of the whole thing. They really do. So, you know, you heard about the fall, and that was wonderful. So, if you came on Ash Wednesday, you heard Father Bill preach, and he talked about Hebrews chapter 12. And if you want to, you can go to Hebrews chapter 12. One of the things that he commended to you was is that you can almost use that chapter as kind of a manual for going through Lent. And I agree with him. I think it's a great thing, and I commend it to you. I'm kind of focusing in on one spot because during Ash Wednesday, during the day, and then during the service, I had a word from the Lord, and it really focused on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And it says in that, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." And so that's kind of the stepping off point for what I want to talk to you about today. It's this idea of being holy. And, you know, if go back and read that again. Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Now, that sounds in some ways simple, but yet it sounds like a pretty big order as well, too. Be holy. Okay, just go ahead and be holy. Why don't you? And it's interesting that over the centuries, that has been interpreted in a couple different ways. This idea of be holy, this admonition to be holy, it's been interpreted differently in the past. And it goes way, way back, okay? It says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. As if you can do something about that, okay? Now, some have said and tried to interpret that if we wear conservative clothes, if we don't cut our hair or shave our beards, or if we don't let our women wear makeup or jewelry, if we don't smoke or we don't eat meat, or if we associate only with our little group, you know, then we'll be holy. And I'm not just talking about modern holiness type churches that would do that, suppose, but this goes way back. Ever heard of the Puritans? Ever heard of the Plymouth Pilgrims? This is what they were attempting to do, was to be holy. And there were groups way before them. If you want to go way back, we can talk about the Pharisees, right? Because they were trying to be holy. That's what the whole thing was. The problem is that the trap of that is that when you try and put on holiness outwardly, it doesn't necessarily seep in you, okay? And it doesn't necessarily get inside by doing those outward things. So this admonition from the author of Hebrews, or whoever that was, to be holy is not an outward thing, but an inward thing of the heart. Okay? To be holy is to talk about your heart, not about what you wear. Okay? So why do I say it's a thing of the heart? Well, you know, a couple of parallels that go with this. Matthew 15, 17. Jesus said, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then into the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart." Okay? He also said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, so holiness is a thing of the heart, if it's a thing at all. Okay? If you act outwardly holy and you appear holy, not the same thing as being holy. Okay? So this season of Lent that we're coming into, that we're starting, you know, this is our 40 days of wandering in the wilderness, paralleling what Jesus did, you just heard in the gospel, you know. Well, this season is a time of cleansing. It's a time of cleaning house. It's a spring cleaning, so to speak, you see. It's a very necessary time in our lives, okay? It's a time to be holy. So why do we do this every year? You think, oh, God, it's Lent again. Oh, no. Now, why do we have to do this every year? Why do we have to do this every week? Why do we have to do this every day? Well, because of all those things you just heard in the Scriptures. Because of the Genesis passage, you know, because Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, their eyes were open, and sin entered the world. I know that seems like a kind of an obtuse answer, but that's really where it basically comes from, of course, is because of that original sin. You see, the effect of that original sin was explained by Paul in the epistle that you heard today. He said in Romans, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. We have all sinned, okay, because of that thing in the past. So, stay with me now here for a minute. So, the one thing that we, none of us, can ever do is not sin. You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, I know. We'll get into that in just a minute. We are all subject to that original sin, even if you think you're a really good person. Okay? We're still subject to that original sin. Just like Paul said, all have sinned. Okay? I mean, okay, let's take this idea, okay? The temptation in the wilderness. You just heard that gospel about Jesus being, you know, pushed by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was there for 40 days, and he was hungry, and Satan came to him and tempted him in three different ways, right? You know, he tempted him with bread, first of all. He tempted him with pride. He said, you know, I'm going to throw yourself down. The angels will lift you up because you're a very special person. And he tested him with ambition by saying, I'll give you all this if you'll just worship me. Put yourself in his place. Okay? Now, compared to Jesus after 40 days in the desert, if I'd even made it for 40 days in the desert, I would have failed at bread. Okay? I wouldn't have gotten to the hard one. Give me the bread. You know? I don't care if they're rocks, you know. I couldn't do it. You understand? That's what I'm talking about. I would have sinned. Okay? So Ash Wednesday night, you know, I shared part of this word at the end of the service. It kind of came to me during that time. It said that in this time of Lent, this season, we are being given an opportunity, an invitation, so to speak, to draw closer to God than we have ever been before. The cleansing that we received at Ash Wednesday, that's when it first came upon me. We said this litany, you know, I led you in all of these things that we were confessing to the Lord, very broad things of the whole human race, basically. And then we were in this special state of grace, and we received His body and blood. And we were in that moment sinless. Ooh, perfect. It's a special place, a special state of grace, you see, where we're holy and therefore we can see God. And God said, this is the place where I can bring you to. This is that new place that I want to bring you all into. And you say, well, that's really good, you know. But probably before I was 5 minutes down the road, I had sinned. Okay, you know, already probably a dozen times I was thinking about that. Oh, God, Lord, you know, I've already been down the... One driver was distracting, kind of weaving back and forth. They were probably texting, and they're speeding up and slowing down. By the time I got to Smoky Park Highway, there was a truck driving with no lights on at all. You know, and can you imagine what I was thinking? It wasn't very nice. I was essentially having murderous thoughts with people. And God had said, if you think it, you've already done it. Okay. You see, I couldn't even get home and stay in that place. It's hard to remain in that state of grace, you see. It's hard to remain in that place that I was just talking about where you can see God. It's hard to remain holy. Because of the effect of sin on our lives, of that original sin way back at the beginning of the book, okay? And this is our basic struggle as followers of Jesus. That's the problem. See, the word sin means missing the mark, among other things, okay? But if you don't even see the mark, how can you miss it? How can you know how far off you've missed it? You may be shooting your arrows wildly, but yeah, I can't convince you of that until I put up the mark. Okay? And then when you see the mark and you see how far your arrows went off, well, then you go, oh, you really missed the mark. That's what the law is. Okay? Unless we know what is right, we won't know if we've done wrong. Okay? And that's why morals should not be relative. Okay? That reminds me of a quote from the movie Sabrina. You remember that? He says, he thinks that morals are paintings on walls and scruples are money in Russia. Talking about Linus, the millionaire. You know? You like that, huh? He thinks that morals are paintings on walls and scruples are money in Russia. It's kind of like our society these days, you know. But this is why God has to be the one to set the mark. This is why He has to be the one to set the rules, to give the law, to shape our morals, and then not to change it, because He doesn't change. See, God set a standard. He put up the mark, and anything less is sin. The problem is that the standard needed to see God is perfect. So this sin thing is a real problem. Now you understand, I'm not talking about your eternal salvation. You have already done that. It was already paid for. Okay? Since you humbled yourself before Christ and you've received your entrance, you have the grace to get into heaven. Paul explained that too in this passage today, very instrumental passage. He said, for if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You see, the sin that still attaches itself to you has been paid for. Okay? Jesus is the only human who ever met the standard, who ever met the mark. And He lets us in on His merit, not on ours. Amen. But what about now? Okay. While you're still on this earth, we still sin. I sinned before I even left church Wednesday night. You probably sinned sitting here listening to me, thinking, oh God, why did He go on and on? Sorry. Okay. I couldn't even make it home from church before I'd sinned. Okay? I'd never passed the test in the wilderness that Jesus endured. And that sin distances me from God. So you see, this statement in Hebrews is correct. Without holiness, no one will see God. So when I sin, I can't see God. And you know what? I really want to see God. I really want to see Him now. I want to see Him on this earth. I want to see Him before I go to heaven. I want to see Him during this life. I don't want to wait until I die. And a lot of you have been Christians for a long time, and I know that you have felt His presence in prayer, in worship, sometime in your life. You remember how that feels? Do you remember that, even if it's just a little glimpse that you got? Maybe it's been a while, maybe it's not, I don't know. Try to remember the times when you've had an intimate experience of God. That overpowering depth of warmth and joy that just kind of comes in, that pure happiness and this incredible sense of peace that kind of wraps around you like a blanket. You ever remember that? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you've only felt it for an instant at some point in your life. Maybe for a few minutes. Maybe you've been there a long time. Like the man who was carried up to the third heaven, right? Maybe you've had these times of ecstasy with God. Like St. Teresa of Avila. You know, she was a nun who lived about the year 1500. And she would have ecstatic visions so powerful that they would lift her off the floor. She would levitate. She would even have her sister nun sit on her so it wouldn't happen. And you say, well, that was really nice, you know. I mean, good for her. She had lots of time to pray, right? Well, yes, she did. She had been through a terrible illness and was paralyzed for 4 years. See, that's the kind of intimacy, the kind of presence that I'm talking about, real time with God. Okay? Perhaps you see him in your prayer time, you know? Maybe you get revelation through visions of beauty like St. Teresa, or, you know, I don't know how it is. However it is, it surpasses all other experiences or feelings that you have on this earth. I mean, trying to explain that to you, describe what I felt in the past. You know, the closest thing I can come up with is, you know, the feeling in the moment when I married Amanda, or when my children were born. Remember that feeling? Or when I look at one of you in love. That's the feeling I'm talking about. That's the kind of experience that you can have now on this earth. You don't have to wait until you go to heaven. In this life, right now. If you've never felt that before, this thing that I'm talking about seems completely strange to you, look what you have waiting for you. It's waiting for you to happen right now, if we'll go to the new and deeper place. This is that intimacy that Jesus is inviting us into in this season right now. You see, that original sin in the garden stands as an obstacle to it. Okay? And our own daily sinfulness is an obstacle to it. Okay? So, when you make an inventory of your sin in detail, really cleaning house, when you identify the things that are putting before your relationship with Jesus, when you renounce those things, either personally or with a priest, you remove the obstacles. When you fast from something that stood between you and God, practicing a discipline during Lent, you remove the obstacles. So that's why we're having this time of Lent. And then when you spend enough time in prayer, just being with Jesus, just listening, just being quiet, then you can find that intimacy. You can get to that place. You're in the special place of holiness. Bishop Jones would call it the secret place. And then you can see God. Now, here on this earth. You don't have to leave. St. Teresa described it this way over 400 years ago. She said the thing that she was teaching, mental prayer. She said, "In mental prayer, in my opinion, is nothing else than an intimate sharing between friends. It means taking time frequently to be alone with Him who we know loves us. The important thing is not to think much, but to love much, and so do that which best stirs you in love." So I asked you a question at the beginning of the sermon about Lent. I said, why do we have to do this every year? Why do we have to do this every week? Why do we have to do this every day? Well, because we sin every year, every week, and every day. And so every year we have a whole season for you to be cleansed of that sin. Okay? Every week we have time for you to be cleansed of that sin. It's the confession we say up here at the beginning of church. And every day you should ask God to cleanse you when you make your own confession in daily prayer. See, we've got something special here, folks. I think many Christians in other denominations never get this close. Okay, we're really close here. Sure, they may teach, and they may properly teach, holiness in personal and real ways. They perform the sacraments that bestow grace, you know. They participate in genuine praise and liturgy. But if they don't recognize the real and active presence of the Holy Spirit, I think they can stop there and forget the entire reason for becoming holy. To see God. I think that we have made a lot of progress over the years towards this. But we aren't there yet. But He's inviting us to a new and higher place now with Him. I know. You've been hearing this forever. You say, oh God, we've been hearing that forever. When is it going to happen? Well, now it can happen. Here we are. This is the time. This is the season. This is the invitation. I'm not saying you have to spend the entire 40 days, you know, groveling and going through it. You could get rid of all the sin stuff in a very short period of time and spend the rest of it in heaven with Him. That sounds nice, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound great? I know it sounds like you've been hearing this a lot. Well, it's time, and He's asking us to do it. But here's the thing that I asked God about, and I didn't like what He said, but I'll tell you anyway. He said you have to do it in private. You have to do it in your own secret place of prayer with Him. An intimate sharing between friends, as St. Teresa said. Taking time frequently to be alone with Him. I believe that's why He's been teaching us through these church quiet days that we've had. You see, we have to, each one of us has to do it individually and privately for it to be manifest corporately when we come together. Do you understand the implication of what I'm saying there? What I'm saying is that if you don't do it, if you say, well, that may be good for you and Father Bill, but I'm not willing to do that, you know, then you are responsible for others not getting there. Oh. For others possibly not getting that intimacy as well. See, you matter here. Your spirit presence in this place matters. You don't just warm a chair here. You are the body of Christ. Yeah, I know. That puts a lot of responsibility on you. That's why I didn't like to say that. But do you really think that your sin or your complacence or your laziness or your distraction doesn't affect others? It does. It could hold them back. So just as I said Wednesday night, and I say again today, God is inviting us into the secret place with Him during Lent. He says, let me cleanse you of your sin. It has to stay behind. You can't bring it with you. Leave it back there. Do the necessary things to get rid of it. And then come up into the secret place and dwell with me. Hebrews 12:14, he said, once again, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Do you want to see God? Do you want to have that feeling that I described, that warm and loving peace, that presence that just wraps around you again? Do you want to feel that again? I do. Then use chapter 12 of Hebrews as a guide. And think of it as an intimate sharing between friends. This Lent, take time frequently to be alone with Him who loves you. Don't think much, but love much. Amen.